ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பிஃபோர் வி ஸ்டார்ட் தி நெக்ஸ்ட் சீரீஸ் ஆஃப் டிஸ்கஷன்ஸ் ஆன் ஏ டிஃபரெண்ட் டாபிக், ஐ ஆஃபர் மை சாஷ்டாங்க நமஸ்காரம்ஸ் at the lotus feet of my gurus, Jagadguru Shri Shri Bharati Tirtha Mahaswaminaha and also Shri Shri Vidushekara Bharati Mahaswaminaha and also to Swami Paramarthananda, whose lectures I take enormously in terms of equipping myself to give these lectures, and to Shri Paramacharya for all the various upanyasams and through his various discourses published in Devatin Kural, I have derived enormous inspiration also. Actually, the reason why I started this particular topic called the Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha, it's a long title, is because during one of my visits to Sringeri to have darshan of my guru, when I was submitting to him the various lectures that were going on at that time and the classes and all that, he gave me a special anugraha to do this particular topic of Adi Shankaracharya called Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha. Actually, this happened when I informed Swamiji of our discussions on Chandogya Upanishad, especially the Sadvidya portion. At that time, he also asked me to do this topic also. And this is a large grantha with 1006 shlokas written by Adi Shankara. So I am trying to approach it with lots of nervousness, but with the blessings of my Guru Jagadguru, I think we will be able to do it well. And there are not many translations available on this particular grantha. One book which I plan to use at length is the book called The Quintessence of Vedanta of Sri Shankaracharya from Sri Ramakrishna Advaita Ashrama Kaladi, this book. And this gives the meaning of the bhavartha of each of the shlokas of the entire text. And Swami Paramarthananda has given discourses on the 250 shlokas which talk about sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti. We are going to see all these details. And there also on selected shlokas of that particular topic, 115 shlokas only. So we will do, wherever that is possible to elaborate the discussion, we will do. In other places, we will do the actual meaning in a nutshell. I don't know whether we'll be completing the full, the entire text at this particular session, but definitely we will do the topic on sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti. But I will still try to go through the entire text for the sake of completion, and because it was ordained by my guru, I would definitely try to follow that. So Adi Shankaracharya has written several independent Vedantic works other than the commentaries on the original Shastras. Commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita, on the Upanishads, explaining the mantras and the various shlokas, they are common. Actually, on Brahma Sutras, his Bhashya is also very, very erudite. And these are called Bhashya Granthaha or Vyakhyana Granthaha. They are not independent works, but explanations of the other original work of the Vedantic lore. Other than these commentary works, he has also written independent texts known as Prakarana Granthas. We can call it as Vedantic treatises. And in the Prakarana Granthas, they have the freedom to write the text as they want, because they are not writing on someone else's work. For example, either Bhagavad Gita or Brahma Sutras or the Upanishads. Acharya has written commentaries on 18 Upanishads and various other things like the by the Mahavishnu Sahasranama and so many other texts. But Prakarana Granthas, he wrote about 23 of them and about 72 or so of various hymns and various meditation verses he has done. So in the Prakarana Granthas, they are very useful to give a clear view on the Shastras, which is not there in the Upanishads directly. Upanishads, they present the teaching, but not in a structured and in a progressive manner. Isavasya Upanishad, it starts with Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamadachyate, that shloka, which is a very profound topic, presented without giving any background knowledge at all. It is not a developed teaching. Since the Upanishads do not present a structured teaching, Prakarana Granthas become complementary for the Upanishadic study. Upanishads have to be studied because they are the original source. But Prakarana Granthas have to be studied because they serve as a complementary text for understanding the Upanishads. It is like, for example, a garland, a mala with flowers and thread. Without the thread, the flowers cannot form a mala. And without the flowers, nobody will wear the thread also. So just as flowers and thread, they are complementary to each other. Upanishads are flowers, Prakarana Granthas are like thread, and together they help the student. So Shankaracharya, in developing this, he has to accomplish two tasks, namely, number one, presenting the whole teaching in a structured way, in a developed way. As we saw, for example, in Tattva Bodha, the various qualifications, Tvampada Vichara, Tatpada Vichara, Asipada Vichara, Jivan Mukti, Videha Mukti, all these topics. When I use all these terms, I'm sure that you are able to relate to all of them after all these years of study. And second task he will have is to provide further supporting logic with supporting examples, etc., to provide clarity to certain ideas in the original work, in the Upanishad, which may be very vague or unclear. For many students, for example, very profound ideas like the concept of mithya, that remains vague even after years of study. They will perhaps understand Brahman even better than mithya. Mithya will ever remain mithya. Therefore, certain profound topics require further reinforcement with more reasoning, more examples and all that. And this task is accomplished by Prakarana Granthas, with a structured presentation and supporting logic, reasoning. Since they become an integral part of Vedantic learning, many Acharyas have written many Prakarana Granthas for junior students, for mid-level students and advanced students. We have all levels of Prakarana Granthas. For example, Tattva Bodha, we called it the Vedantic primer when we did the Tattva Bodha lectures. It is the junior most level of Grantha. And all these Granthas that we have been learning, whether it is Dakshinamurti Stotram, Viveka Chudamani, all of them, some of them are deep, some of them are lighter, some of them have heavy introns. We now focus on another Prakarana Grantha, which is also attributed to Adi Shankaracharya, namely Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha. The title of the Grantha itself is long. The original is a very big work, consisting of 1006 shlokas. To compare Viveka Chudamani, which is considered big, that has only 585 shlokas. The entire Bhagavad Gita has only 700 shlokas, whereas Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha has 1006 shlokas. But as I mentioned earlier, I may not do the entire text, at least not presently. And the uniqueness of this text is that Shankara has written 250 verses on Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti only, the fourfold qualifications. Nowhere else this topic is dealt with so elaborately, with such a comprehensive analysis. In Tattva Bodha, if you remember, we covered Sadhana Chatushtayam Kim, Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekaha. So when we pop all those various definitions in two, three shlokas, and we finished them maybe in a couple of classes. And out of those 200 shlokas in this particular text, we may perhaps do only half of them or less than half of them only, just to understand the significance of Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. If
Sadhanacha Dushtaya Sampatti is taken care of, it is capable of giving 75% moksha, as Swamiji says. Even without reading Vedanta, if you only focus on Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti, that itself will clear many of our psychological problems. And Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti has got a direct benefit. And what is the direct benefit? It can give peace, it can give security, and also happiness directly. Therefore, students should never ignore this, saying that we have completed this Sintatva Bodha, Viveka Chudamani and all that. Shankaracharya spends 250 shlokas so that we never take Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti for granted any time. Before Shravanam it is important, during Shravanam it is important, during Mananam it is important, during Nididhyasanam it is important, and after Nididhyasanam also it is important. It has lifelong importance. It can directly give peace, security and happiness. And it can indirectly also, it can give, it will help us receive, retain and assimilate the Vedantic teaching. So, indirectly it helps us in Jnana Nishtha and give direct Shanti. And Jnana Nishtha Dvara, Dvara means by means of Jnana Nishtha, it also gives Shanti and Ananda also. Yovai Bhuma Tat Sukham Atma Kridam Atma Ratihi Atma Mituna Atma Nandaha, all those shlokas we saw. For all these things, Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti also heavily contributes in a very, very big way. If long study of Vedanta does not help us, it is only because of one reason. All the acharyas, all scriptures and all acharyas, uniformly they declare. If years of Vedantic study doesn't help us, the reason is because the student has ignored Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. Only way to correct is what? Not to ignore Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti earlier. Shankaracharya wants to emphasize this very heavily in the first part of this particular grantha called Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha. Therefore, by the study of these verses, we will not only know their meaning, but we will also know how important they are. And we will skip few shlokas, actually several shlokas, within the first 250 itself perhaps, to make it comprehensive and simpler. With this background, now let us enter into the text proper. Akhandananda sambodaha vandanadyasya jayate govindam tamaham vande chidananda tanum gurum. So in the first three shlokas, Shankaracharya offers Mangalacharana with an intention to remove all the obstacles. These are all familiar to us. Why these shlokas are put, what is Mangalacharanam, why pray for removal of obstacles, all that we have discussed in every Upanishad, in every other context also. So obstacles for himself in writing the text and also for the removal of obstacles for the students to complete the study later. So, for personal benefit as well as future students' benefit, Acharya wrote this Mangalacharanam because that is the tradition in our culture, Mangala Shloka. So, whatever task we undertake, success depends on two things, Prayatna and Prasada. Prayatna plus Prasada is equal to Vijayaha, success. Prayatna means what? Our effort. And Prasada means Ishwara Prasada, Ishwara Anugraha, Daivam factor. So, success is possible only when both occur. Even though the acharyas know ultimate truth is binary format, when they write, they are in triangular format only. All these binary, triangular format and all, I now believe that those concepts are clear by now. In the Vyavaharika place, practical reality, Jiva, Jagat and Ishwara triangle is there. And so, we have to invoke the grace of Ishwara's grace, Atmanas, Atman's grace, and also Vigneshwara's grace also. First, the Acharya, he invokes the grace of Govinda. He uses the word Govinda in a double meaning also. One Govinda refers to Bhagavan Govinda, Sakshat Narayana himself. Bhaja Govindam. And the word Govinda has several meanings also. Vedantic meaning of the word Govinda, Go refers to Shastra Pramanangodi or Shastra Shabdaihi, one who is known and attained with the help of Shastra Pramanam. That is a goal. That Govinda is the one who is known and who is attained with the help of Shastra Pramanam. In Vedanta, knowing Bhagavan is attaining Bhagavan. It is so strange. Why? Because when I know Bhagavan clearly, I know the all-pervading Bhagavan can never be away from me. So when Bhagavan is never away from me, separate from me, different from me, where is the question of getting him or attaining him? Therefore, knowing itself is getting. Jnanam eva praptihi. So shastra shaddaihi jnayate. Prapyate iti govinda, that govinda, that Bhagavan. So this is one general meaning. But in the case of Shankaracharya, Govinda refers to his guru also. Who is the guru of Shankaracharya? Govinda Bhagavatpada. So he was in Madhya Pradesh. And Shankaracharya walked all the way from Kerala to Madhya Pradesh and gained this knowledge. Govindam means Govinda Bhagavatpada Gurum. So this shloka becomes Ishvara Namaskara and Guru Namaskara both simultaneously. So Govindam Aham Vande. And the rest of the shloka is the description of Govinda himself. And we will take the first meaning here. Bhagavan, yasya vandanate akandananda sambodaha jayate. By worshipping Bhagavan Narayana and by the grace of Bhagavan Narayana, what benefit one will get? Sambodaha jayate. Sambodaha means samyak jnanam bodaha. Sambodaha is born. So samyak jnanam, clear knowledge is born. Doubtless knowledge is born because of Ishvara Aradhana. So Lord Krishna, if you remember, he gave a promise in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam enamam upayantite. So if a person worships me sincerely for jnanam and moksha, Bhagavan says, it is my responsibility to provide him with the opportunity for knowledge. I have got a guru agency, that's what God says. And when the Sishya is ready, I will send a guru and make sure that my bhakta gets knowledge. And Adi Shankara says, yasya vandanat, by the worship of Govinda, sambodha jayate, a person gets clear knowledge. How? Through gurus sent by the God, by the Bhagavan. Bhagavan cannot directly inject the knowledge into the brain. Therefore, he has to send a guru. So, Bhagavan helps by providing a guru and an opportunity also to attend these classes. Attending class also one has to do. One cannot say, Bhagavan, you do that also. Bhagavan cannot attend the classes for our sake. Bhagavan cannot attend the class because one has to make use of the opportunity, then sambodaha jayate. What jnanam one will get? Akhanda anandaha. Akhanda anandaha means Bhumanandaha. We finished Bhumananda in the 7th chapter of Chandogya Upanishad. First Sadvidya, Bhumavidya. You can understand Yatra Nanya Pashyati, Nanya Shrunoti, Akanta Advaita Amrita Swarupa Anandam Bodaha. In short, Atma Jnana. So, Akanda Ananda Sambodaha means Atma Jnana comes by worshipping Ishvara. And what is the nature of that Bhagavan? Chidananda Tanum. Tanuhu here means Swarupam. Chidananda Tanuhu means Chidananda Rupaham Shivoham. So Chidananda Tanuhu means Chidananda Rupam. That means who is of the nature of consciousness, Chit, and happiness, and Ananda. And Guru. He makes the word Guru because he is Shankaracharya's Guru, Adi Shankara's Guru, Govinda, who happens to be my Guru also. Thus, Guru Namaskara comes. Ishvara Namaskara, both are done through the first mantra, first Mangalacharanam. This is the Mangalacharanam. It means invocatory words or prayer. Now let us go to the second shloka. Akandam chachidanandam avang manasa gocharam atma atmanam akiladharam ashraye vishta siddhaye. And in the second shloka, Shankaracharya says, I surrender to the Atma Swarupam itself, which I propose to reveal through the text, this particular text. Atmanam aham ashraye. I surrender to the Atma itself. And what is meant by surrendering to Atma? Invoking and remembering the nature of Atma. Atma Swarupa smaranam eva Atma ashrayaha. As Ramana Maharshi says, In Saddarsanam, Tasya Smriti, Tatra, Dridayavinishta. So, remembering Atma, surrendering to the Atma for a Jnani is remembering Atma. Remembrance is surrender. So, Atmanam Ashraye. I surrender to Atma. And what type of Atma? Akhandam, which is divisionless, which cannot be divided, which is indivisible. Yatra nanya pasyati, nanya shrunoti, sachidananda. You can understand now all these things, because Sat means Sat-Chit Anandam. Sat means pure existence, Chit means pure consciousness, and Ananda means pure happiness. I am just only giving them in a running fashion, because we have discussed all these things in great detail. So when using the word pure, we have to recollect the five features of Atma, what it is. We should apply not a part, product, property, all those five features. I might have repeated it so many times. So you should apply all those five features to existence, pure consciousness, and also to pure happiness. That is Sat Chit and Ananda. Then Avang Manasa Gocharam, which cannot be directly described by words, Vang Manas, and also imagined. It can only be indirectly described. Suppose Atma cannot be talked about directly or indirectly, what will happen? Suppose neither direct words nor indirect words will help. What will the intelligent Shishya will ask? Why are you conducting this class? What are you doing in this class? Words and words and words only. So Adi Shankara's writing is what again? Words. So if words cannot describe directly or indirectly, Shabda Pramana itself will become redundant. Therefore, we should underline this fact. Words cannot reveal directly, but words definitely can reveal the truth indirectly. Even though words cannot reveal directly the truth, but they can definitely reveal the truth indirectly. Vachyartha na sambhavati, lakshyartha sambhavati eva. In Vichara Sagara, actually Nishala Dasa highlights, I don't know when we will do this, there is another grantha, Vichara Sagara. So he highlights this principle. Vacham agocharam. So, vacham agocharam, not available for direct description. And similarly, manasam agocharam, not directly available for thought or objectification. It is not an object of thought. That is why we say knowing Brahman is possible without objectification. We should be very, very careful. This understanding should be very clear. Knowing Brahman is possible without objectification. Knowing Brahman is possible only in the form of claiming, owning up. One cannot experience Brahman as one of the objects in the creation, and therefore not directly available for the mind, but indirectly available. So, avang manasa gocharam. And this is the translation of yato vachanivartante aprapya manasasaham of Taittiriya. And Atmanam Akila Adharam, that which is the Adharam, the support of the entire creation, including time and space. Careful. Entire creation, including time and space. Akila Adharam, Vishwa Adharam, Sarva Adharam, all are same only. And Adharam indirectly means what? Karanam. This also we have seen it many times. Adharam means Karanam, because Karanam alone is Adharam for all karyams. Therefore, Srishti is a karyam. Therefore, Akilam Adharam Ashraye. I surrender, I take recourse to my remembrance. For what purpose? Abhishta Siddhaye. For the success of my favorite venture. Abhishtam, my venture that I propose to undertake for the fulfillment of my wish. Who is saying all this? Adi Shankara says all that. They also apply to us, because for him, he wants to complete the text. For us, we want to go through this study and complete this study. So for the fulfillment of my wish. And what is Shankaracharya's wish? Shankara is writing this work and communicating something which cannot be directly communicated. We have told many times, what is directly communicable? This is not directly communicable. So Shankara does that very brilliantly here. And this work also is very beautiful work of Shankaracharya. With this, the second Mangalacharanam also is over. Another brief shloka, very nice shloka. Then the third one is Vigneshwara Namaskaraha. Acharya does Namaskara to Vigneshwara. Yada lambodaram hanti satam pratyuha sambhavam tada lambedaya lambam lambodara padambujam. லம்போதர பதாம்புஜம் அகம் ஆலம்பே சதாலம்பே. தட் ஷுட் பி ஸ்பிளிட் இன்டூ அஸ் சத்து பிளஸ் ஆலம்பே. சத் ஆலம்பே சதாலம்பே. ஆலம்பே இஸ் தி வெர்ப் ஆக்சுவலி. ஸோ ஐ ரிசார்ட் டு, ஐ சரண்டர் டு, ஐ ஹோல்ட் ஆன் டு, ஐ ஃபர்ம்லி ஹோல்ட் ஆன் டு தி பத பாத அம்புஜம் பதாம்புஜம் தி லோட்டஸ் ஃபீட் ஆஃப் லம்போதரா. லம்போதரா மீன்ஸ் வாட்? தி பிக் ஸ்டமக்டு பகவான், தி பாட் பெல்லிடு பகவான், லம்ப உதரா, ஹேங்கிங் உதரா. ஸோ லம்போதரஸ்ய பதாம்புஜம் தி லோட்டஸ் ஃபீட் ஆஃப் தட் லம்போதரா. ஆலம்பே ஐ ஹோல்ட் ஆன் டு தட். அண்ட் ஒய் வி சி ஹிஸ் சப்போர்ட்? பிகாஸ் he never denies it, because he is dayalambam, he is a repository of daya, compassion, abode of daya. Therefore whoever prays, he will bless without batting an eyelid, readily he will. Why to worship Vigneshwara? As the name shows, Vigneshwara, whenever I undertake something, the first obstacle comes in the form of what? Our own diffidence. Can I do that or not? 1006 slokas are there. Can I complete it? All those things will come. And even if we have some amount of doubtful confidence, maybe the people who are our other people who are with us, they may try to say, oh, how can you finish it? It's going so tough. So Shankaracharya says, I am not taking up a small job, but writing a work on the inexplicable Brahman, indescribable Brahman. Therefore, yadalambaha, by taking the support of Vinayaka, yasya alambaha, yasya bhavati achil. So whoever has the support, samasa tatpurushamasa. So walking stick, the support that is given by Swami Vinayaka. Daram hanti. Dara means bhayam. So you can see Shankaracharya has made a wise pun of words also here. In the first line, yada lambodaram, you take it as two separate words. In the second line, Lambodaram, Lambodaram Hanti, Lambodara Padambujam. So even Sanskrit-wise, it's a beautiful construction. Daram means what? Bayam Hanti. Otherwise, he would have written Bayam itself. Yeda Lambo Bayam Hanti, he would have written. Why does he choose Daram? So that Lambodara Panni, word pun, can also take place. So Bayam Hanti Satam. Satam means all, for all the devotees. Satam, noble devotees. And what is the fear they have? Pratyuka sambhavam. Pratyuka means vignaha, meaning all these obstacles which have not yet come. These are all only imaginary obstacles. Suppose I want to go to some place, Badrinath, Kedarnath, or Manasarovar, Kailas. Somebody says, oh, you have to climb up, 18,000 feet high, 10,000 feet high, and there is rarefied atmosphere, oxygen is only at 18,000 feet, only 20%, 10%, all that. Then you will not be able to breathe. Already your person may be 60-70 years, and it is, the temperature is also so low, and the person may be from a hot place like either from South India, Hyderabad, Madras, somewhere. So even though no such things has happened yet, the imagination itself brings up breathing problem, temperature problem, people started to shiver. Therefore, pratyuka sambhavam, fear born out of possible obstacles by imagination. That means imaginary fear. Many fears are not only imaginary, they are irrational also perhaps. And all such fears Vigneshwara will remove. And Shankaracharya says, I am also confident because Vigneshwara will help me in completing this work. So with this, the Mangalacharanam is over. Now the Acharya introduces his intention, what he proposes to do in this particular text, the presentation of the purpose. Something like, we can call it maybe a preface or something. He says, my aim in this work is taking the extract of the essence or the central message of Vedanta Shastra. So Sangraha. Sangraha means an extract. The extract of what? Siddhanta Saraha. Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Saraha, right? Siddhanta Saraha, the essence of the central message. Siddhantam. Siddhanta means what? The central message. The Tatparyam. Saraha means essence. So the essence of the central message of Vedanta Shastra. He uses the word Vedanta Shastra because the whole Veda, we have told this also many times, the whole Veda is divided into two Shastras. Even though Veda is only one, given by Bhagavan, it is divided into Veda Purva Shastram, which is Karma Kandam, and Veda Andha Shastram, which is Jnana Kandam. So they are divided into two shastras because the subject matters are different. Veda Purva has got twofold aims, materialistic aim and spiritual aim also. The materialistic aim of Veda Purva is what? Presenting lot of Kamya Karmani, various karmas, expecting something, many rituals and prayers for fulfilling various worldly desires, for warding off worldly obstacles, health problems, solving financial crisis, solving loan problems, getting mortgage, getting the children married, all kinds of things, all worldly purposes. For that Veda Purva presents Kamya Karmas. The same Veda Purva has got a spiritual aim also through Vihita Karmani. Same Veda prescribes certain other compulsory karmas called Vihita Karmas to be done by all the people called Nitya Karmas, Naimittika Karmas, all that we have told. What are Nitya Karmas, Naimittika Karmas and all that. So in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna calls it what? Niyata Karmani, Niyatam Kuru Karma, Niyatam Kuru. So that's what he is telling. So do the karma. So all these Kamya Karmas, all of them, they are all for material purposes. And Vihita Karmani, they are all for spiritual purpose. So if a person performs these, he will get spiritual benefit. And what is the spiritual benefit? Jnana Yogyata Praptihi. Fitness of the mind to receive jnana, the knowledge. So Veda Purva will give Dharma, Artha, Kama and also give Jnana Yogyata. Veda Purva Bhaga, the Karma Kanda portion, will give Dharma, Artha, Kama and also will give Jnana Yogyata. Veda Purvam can never give Jnanam and Moksha. It can never give, Veda Purva Karma Kanda will never give Jnanam and Moksha. But it will prepare us to go in that route. And we are supposed to go through Veda Purvam and get Yogyata, the qualification. Go through the Veda Purvam and which part? Pancha Mahayagya Rupa Veda Purvam. And get Jnana Yogyata. I have also told many times what are the Pancha Mahayagyas which are supposed to be pursued by everybody. The Deva Yagyam, the Rishi Yagyam, Adhbirma Yagyam, Pitri Yagyam, Manushi Yagyam, Bhuta Yagyam. All these things are to be done every day. Pancha Mahayagya. In the Pancha Mahayagya Rupa Veda Purva. And get Jnana Yogyata. And once you get Jnana Yogyata, we have to go to Veda Antaha. And Shankaracharya says, I focus not on Veda Purva Bhaga here. I assume what? Every student has already done that. I take it for granted. And I am dealing with Veda Anta Shastra Siddhanta, Siddhanta Sara Sangraha. That is what I am now doing, that Vedanta Shastra, Siddhanta Shastra Sangraha. And for whom? Mumukshuna, those people who have made use of Veda Purva properly and now they are mumukshus, they are jnasus. They are not interested in Dharmartha Kama anymore. They are not even interested in Jnana Yogyata because they have already got it. They have got the qualification. They are interested in Jnanam only now. So for those mumukshunam, jignasunam, actually Lord Krishna gave a special title to them. This Artha Bhaktas, Arthartya Bhaktas, and then Jignasu Bhaktanam. If you remember all these, Chaturvidha Bhajante Imam, Janasukriti Norjanam, Artho Jignasur Arthartya, Jnani Chavara Darshapa, so Artha Bhaktas, Arthartya Bhaktas, and Jignasu Bhaktas. So Mumukshuna. Mumukshuna means Jignasu Bhaktanam. No more Artha Bhaktaha. Artha Bhaktaha, you know, if you Bhakti for solving family problems is Artha Bhaktaha. Arthartya Bhakta means Bhakti for success in worldly ventures. They are all in the background. So Moksha Ichunam, Prekshavatam. And who are all intelligent students also. Prekshavata means very observant students. They are not just dull students. A person who has already gone through all the various qualifications cannot be a dumb student. He is an observant student, intelligent student. They are much focused and preksha, those who observe things very well. So for them I am presenting, who has got a very keen outlook. And with what purpose? Even though the Upanishad themselves give the knowledge, I write the Prakarana Grantha because Upanishads do not give a structured teaching. It is not a developed teaching. It is strewn all over. I am going to give a structured teaching of 250 shlokas for Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. No Upanishad mentions the four qualifications directly at all. And in some other mantra, Vairagya will be mentioned. In some mantra, Viveka will be mentioned. In some other mukshutvam will be there. Shama somewhere, dama somewhere, all that thing. So they are all scattered all over. I am going to present them in one place and elaborate them in 250 shlokas over. And what is my intention? Sukha bodha upapattaye. Sukha bodha bodham upapattaye. For the easy understanding of my dear students. This is the intention of Adi Shankaracharya. So in the tradition, I will make a small diversion here. Because in the tradition, when we talk about Vedanta Shastram, we should remember the original source of Vedanta Shastra is known as Brahma Sutras. We should be careful. Original source of Vedanta Shastra is Brahma Sutras. We don't say the Upanishads. It's the source. Even though Upanishads are the source, because in the Upanishad, Vedanta Shastra is not presented in a cogent, systematic manner. That is why we don't call it the Vedanta Shastra. It is like the seeds, they are all available, but not in the form of full-fledged tree or plant. That is how Upanishads present them. The science of Vedanta has been extracted from the Upanishad by whom? By Veda Vyasa, Vyasacharya. And he has presented in a systematic manner in four chapters in the Brahma Sutras. Samanvaya Adhyayaha, and Avirodha Adhyayaha, and Sadhana Adhyayaha, and Paladhyayaha. So the various chapters. And the first chapter extracts the central teaching of the Upanishad, which is not very explicably available. So the extraction has been done by Vyasacharya and Shankaracharya through his commentaries. And that is why the word Samanvaya means the central message. And in Avirodha Adhyaya, the second chapter, Vyasacharya has defended Vedanta Shastram by answering all the questions raised by the other darshanas, other philosophers. There are 11 darshanas, 6 Nastika darshanas, 5 Astika darshanas. So he has confronted the 11 darshanas and defended Vedanta in the second chapter, Avirodha Adhyaya. So primary teaching is first chapter, Samanvaya Adhyaya, and the next one, defending the thesis, the second chapter. And in the third chapter, Vedavyasa has extracted all the spiritual disciplines. What is Karma Yoga? What is Upasana Yoga? All spiritual disciplines have been collected from all the sources in the Upanishads and then presented in one chapter. This is called Sadhana Adhyaya. Sadhana Adhyaya, the third chapter. And the fourth chapter is called Paladhyaya. If you follow the sadhanas and study the Vedanta, what blessed benefit one will get? All portions of Vedanta are analyzed and the phalam is extracted in the form of Jivan Mukti, in the form of Videha Mukti, and in the form of Karma Mukti, all those things. All three types of Mukti, Jivan Mukti, Videha Mukti, Karma Mukti, they all have been talked about. So, a systematic presentation of Vedanta as a branch of knowledge we find only in Brahma Sutra, not in Upanishad in this systematic manner. Therefore, if you say Vedanta Shastram, we should know it as Brahma Sutra. Why I am saying all this? We are going to take Brahma Sutra next. So, when we do that, these things will be helpful. Of course, Brahma Sutra is an extract from the Upanishads only, where many ideas are not explicit, many ideas are not there, are not given in the way we will directly, we will be able to understand. So we have derived them. So again, Vedanta Shastram is equal to Brahma Sutram only. This is what we are trying to say now. Just if we can understand that much, it's good. And who is the author of the Vedanta Shastra, Vedanta or Upanishad? We have to be very careful. Vedanta or Upanishad is a part of Veda which is at the end portion of the Veda. Vedanta is at the end portion of the Veda. Veda including Vedanta is not authored by any human being. Veda including Vedanta, the Upanishads and all, is not authored by any human being and has been coming down through the rishis, right from Narayana or Sadashiva. We believe the author of the Veda or the Upanishad to be Bhagavan, Lord himself, and rishis are the pipelines, the conduits through which we have received it. That's why all these people, they are mantra drashtas, they saw the mantras, which were already there. So Vedanta or Upanishad, author is Bhagavan, the Lord himself. Vedanta Shastram Brahma, Vedanta Shastram is Brahma Sutra, for which the author is Vyasacharya. So Vedanta, Veda and Vedanta, we have now separated. And for Vedanta Shastra, Brahma Sutra, we said Vedanta Shastra is equal to Brahma Sutra, for which there is an author, that is Vyasacharya. for Vedas, there is no other as such, it is all Bhagavan. So we should know the difference between Vedanta, the Upanishad and Vedanta Shastra. All the Prakarana Granthas are based on Vedanta Shastras or Brahma Sutra, in which Upanishad has been analyzed in detail. So I hope we are reasonably in communication. And what is Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha? It is Vedanta Shastra Siddhanta. Siddhanta means all the final conclusions, derived messages, Sangraha, an extract that I am going to present for the intelligent students, the mumukshus of the various students. So that's what Adi Shankara says. So Prekshavatam. Prekshavatam means those who are observant. We already said this. Those who carefully note and not mechanically nodding their heads. Those who think or those who don't doze off during the discussion also. So those who think and accept, thinking students. And what type of students are they? Mumukshunam, who consider spirituality as the primary aspect of their life for the seekers of liberation or spiritual freedom. Sukha bodha upapattaye, for the sake of easy understanding. Sukha bodha. Sukha bodha means easy understanding. Upapattaye means for that purpose. So up to that, so this is this particular shloka. And now we are up to this point, we are the various shlokas that are given here, they are all now in the same order in which the shlokas are there in the original text. Shloka 5.
Asya shastranusaritvat anubandha chaturtayam yadeva moolam shastrasya nirdishtam tadi hochyate.
And generally, in this introductory portion of Vedanta Shastra, they will introduce normally two Sanskrit words. One is called Anubandha Chatushtayam and another is called Sadhana Chatushtayam. And these words can be confusing because the word Chatushtayam comes commonly in both Anubandha Chatushtayam and Sadhana Chatushtayam. Sadhana, we have seen these things in Tattva Bodha, but people might not have referred to that maybe for a long time, so this may be a refresher there also. So Sadhana Chatushtayam refers to the fourfold qualifications required for a Vedantic student to get the full benefit of the study. So without these qualifications, one can study Vedanta. If a person distinguishes, not that the head will, it will be difficult, but one can study, but the warnings, we don't get the full benefit of what Vedanta is supposed to give. Without the qualification, many people can study this, but the full benefit they cannot derive. The benefit will vary between, depending upon the degree of qualification. So Manda Adhikari, we have told all that thing. So for Manda Adhikaris, Manda Palam. Madhyama Adhikari will get Madhyama Palam. And Uttama Adhikari will get Uttama Palam. So Manda, Madhyama, Uttama Adhikaris will get the Palam according to their qualification. So the benefit is directly proportional to the degree of qualification. This is statutory warning to the student. So don't complain that I didn't get anything or I didn't understand anything, because these are the fourfold qualifications. They are going to be elaborated in this particular text. And another topic that is also presented in the introduction is Anubandha Chatushtayam. So Sadhana Chatushtayam is this Anubandha Chatushtayam. It means four factors. Chatushtayam means fourfold. So four factors required for propounding a science or a shastra. For introducing a distinct shastram like Tarka Shastram, Mimamsa Shastram, Vyakarana Shastram, Vedanta Shastram, to introduce any new branch of science, we need to have four conditions fulfilled. Anubandha Chatushtayam means the four conditions to start a shastra. So Shastra Arambam Apekshita Ghatakani. So factors required for introducing a shastra for. For example, if you take Vedanta Shastra, that should be introduced as different from Sankhya Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Purva Mimamsa. So it should be introduced in that manner. So all these Shastras are there. And why should Vyasacharya introduce Vedanta as a new branch of science, which is called the new Darshanam? For starting a Darshanam, there must be again four conditions. That is called Anubandha Chatushtayam. And Shankaracharya says, I am going to present those four factors associated with Vedanta Shastra now. And he says, these four factors I am not introducing in Brahma Sutra, which is our original science. Vyasacharya has already done that in the first sutra, Atato Brahma Jignyasaha. When we read Brahma Sutra, we will start with the shloka. Atato Brahma Jignyasaha, Atata Brahma Jignyasaha. So, the entire sutra, which has Anubandha Chatushtayam, is introduced by the word Atha in Brahma Sutra. I am going to only borrow from Brahma Sutra and present those four factors which make Vedanta Shastra distinct from other Shastras. Who says? Shankaracharya says. Therefore, he says, Asya. Asya means for this. Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha, for this Shastra Anusaritvat. Being based on the original Shastra. What is original Shastra? Brahma Sutra Moolam. So, Shastra Anusaritvatam, that means Ved Brahma Sutra Anusaritvatam, I have to only go to, for example, various other places to find out. For Shankaracharya, what is, you know, we can, these days all these things are available in the internet and all that, we can Google it. Shankaracharya, he has no Google, right? His own brain only is his Google. So, everything is, we have to go for everything, we do a Google search. For them, their own brain was that tool. So they were not even notebooks and books at that time. All these, they were all in the 200 grams of brain. Therefore, being based on Brahma Sutra, as Anubandha Chatushtayam, Asya Anubandha Chatushtayam means what? Asya must be connected with Anubandha Chatushtayam. The four conditions are factors associated with Vedanta Darshana. Yadeva Moolam Nitishtam, which has been already mentioned in the Moolam Brahma Sutra. Moolam here is Brahma Sutra. Tadiha Uchyate. So, Tadiha Uchyate, I am just only presenting them. Brahma Sutra is in Sutra form and Shankaracharya's commentary is in prose form. So, remembering the four factors is difficult, but here he presents all the four factors in the form of a shloka. The advantage of shloka form is what? We can get it by heart quickly, because the rhythm and all that thing, we can get it by heart. Very beautiful shloka enumerating the four factors. Not only for Vedanta Shastra, for Tarka Shastra, for any other. That has also its own Anubandha Chatushtayam. Vyakarna also should have its own Anubandha Chatushtayam. So, in all colleges, if a person wants to join a particular course, they will tell you what are the conditions for joining, what are the prerequisites, these things have to be already taken. So, that we will find out now. So, who is an adhikari? That is given in the next shloka, shloka number 6. We will read. Adhikari cha vishayaha sambandascha prayojanam shastrarambapalam brahuhom anubandha chatushtayam. So, beautiful shloka. It's worth remembering. Adhikari cha vishayaha sambandascha prayojanam shastrarambapalam brahuhom anubandha chatushtayam. The four factors are presented in the shloka form here. Now, for the sake of discussion, we will change the order. The second one that is given is Vishayaha. Vishayaha means a unique subject matter that should be there for starting a unique branch. Because if you call it a unique branch, the subject matter should be unique. If the subject matter is already discussed in other branches of science, why should we talk about this again? It's not any unique anymore. So, Vedanta need not talk about other branches, physics or chemistry, because they are already there. This topic is discussed. Mathematics is a distinct shastra. Chemistry is another shastra. Astrology, anything. So, if Vedanta is going to discuss any of them, we need not start a new branch when it is already there. So, Vedanta must have a subject matter which is different from other branches of science. So, conditions for a new or unique subject matter that is compulsory. So, Vishayaha means unique subject matter, that is the Vishaya. By unique, again, what do we mean? It is unique to this particular branch of science so that it will not overlap with other branches. That is called Vishayaha. And the second one is Adhikari. There must be people who are interested in learning. See, that's very important. I know something and I want to teach. Who is interested? If you all say none of us are interested, why should I write a book? No need. That's what Ashokara says. So, there must be a candidate who is desirous of learning. Otherwise, writing a book is a waste. It's time and all that. So, we should never do anything which is a waste. So, we need a candidate who is interested in learning. So, we can call it the target audience. You know, we call it target audience these days. There must be an audience. And that is why now you find that in the universities, not many are not, you know, the Sanskrit language. So they take away all subjects. The professors hunt for students. Yeah, not many people they study Sanskrit. Suppose you walk by that road, they will call you and ask, oh, why can't you join? This is almost, or there are courses in many places, buy one, get one free courses also many places, you know. Why can't you join? Because if they don't find enough students for 1 or 2 years, the department may even be closed. So why should somebody spend money for the course where students are not there? That is why Sanskrit is vanishing also. Sad state. So only good news to us. It is growing in other places. So you know, even in other many of the Western countries, here in the US, also in England, Germany, all places. So that, you know, people interested in Sanskrit also. So this is, so the people who are interested, if your book is not relevant if there is no candidate, therefore the second this thing is an adhikari, a person who is interested and who can also learn should be present. And the next factor is called prayojana. Prayojana means because human beings are always interested in some personal benefit. What is there in for me is the standard question. So they are utilitarian by nature and therefore they have to say what is the benefit. That is called prayojanam or phala, benefit. Lastly, it's a more technical thing, the connection between the book and the subject matter. Of course, sometimes different paths are taken, book and benefit or student and benefit. So different paths are taken for the sambandha, to talk about the connections, because connections always require two. So adhikari and prayojanam, adhikari and vishayaha, vishayaha and prayojanam, all that thing. So candidate and subject matter and benefit, candidate and benefit, it can be any of them. Any pair can be taken. Here Shankaracharya takes the pair of books, prayojanam, so sarva vedanta siddhanta sara sangraham, and prayojanam of vedanta shastra. In Sanskrit this is called sambandha. And what are the four? You know, actually four, you know, we have told already the four words: candidate, benefit, subject matter, and connection. So first also is, you know, the connection. Last also is connection. So it starts with CBSC. So candidate, benefit, subject matter, and connection. So that we can remember this CBSC. And you know, they may be in that board, CBSC. In India, all these boards are CBSC, all various boards are there. So what is Anubandha Chatushtayam? So it is candidate, benefit, subject, connection. So remember this shloka, or if you protest, then you know we can. If you remember the shloka, it's fine. Otherwise, we can remember only CBSC. And only when these four conditions are there, a new branch of science can be introduced. So, Shastraramba Phalam, the presence of Anubandha Chatushtayam leads to a new branch of science. So, and that is why there is a big discussion in advanced work, whether Veda should be treated as one branch of science or two branches of science. So, Veda Eka Shastram, Vedas Eka Shastram Va or Shastra Dvayam Va, these are all various discussions. We take the whole Veda as Shastra coming from Bhagavan. Should be treated as Eka Shastram or Shastra Dvayam. So this is a big debate. It goes on, always people go on arguing. Shankaracharya concludes Veda must be treated as two distinct branches. Shankar say, you know, not Shastra Ekam, but Shastra Dvayam. Karma Kandam must be treated as separate. And Jnana Kandam should be treated as separate Shastra. So religion and spirituality must be separated, even Shankaracharya argues. So many religious people, they are there who are not at all interested in spirituality. They go to temple because, you know, they need admission in school or college or job or any of them. So religious people need not be spiritual at all. Therefore, Shankaracharya establishes distinct Anubandha Chatushtaya. So the CBSC of Veda Purva is different. So that is why Jaimini Maharishi, he wrote a separate Shastram called Purva Mimamsa Shastram, taking the first part of the Veda, Karma Kanda, as a separate branch of science. Jaimini wrote Purva Mimamsa Sutrani, all the sutras he wrote, making it a separate branch of science. Vyasacharya wrote another group of sutras called Uttara Mimamsa Sutrani. Both of them are what? Veda only, but divided into two. And what is the argument? Anubandha Chatushtayam being different, because the candidates are different, Vishayas are different, they must be treated as distinct Shastras. Don't mix up and mess up all. That's what that is. So, Jnana Karma Samuchaya Kandana is a very, very important topic. Shankaracharya engages in all his commentaries. Jnana Karma Samuchaya Kandana. Because during his time, Shankaracharya's time, many people were mixing them up. Anyway, lot of diversion topics, you know, they come in when we talk about Vedanta Shastra. So, we don't have to discuss all of them. Because the word Shastra Aramba, we went through all these discussions. So, now let us come to our topic back again. A new branch can be started only when there is a distinct, unique Anubandha Chatushtaya. Now, he is going to talk about the four factors from Shloka 5 to Shloka 11. Anubandha Chatushtaya is the topic. These conditions for starting a Shastram, and he has enumerated them. Now, he is going to elaborate each one. Who is the candidate? Who is the subject? What is the subject matter? What is the benefit? What is the connection? All that he is going to now enumerate. Shloka 7. Chaturbihi sadhanaihi samyake sampanno yukti dakshinaha medhavi purusho vidvan adhikaryatra sammataha. So here comes the second chatushtayam called the sadhana chatushtayam, the fourfold qualification. So Anubandha Chatushtayam is previously. Now Sadhana Chatushtayam, the fourfold qualification, which makes a person a fit candidate, an adhikari. If the qualifications are absent or deficient, you will find the interest in Vedanta will also gradually go away. It will be difficult for a person to survive. Even if the person survives, it will not give expected benefit also. Like they say, using Ganga Jalam for washing bathroom. So Ganga Jalam is for what? So Vedanta will be used for time pass. It is intellectually simulating, people will say. Swamiji says, I am not interested in moksha. They openly told, tell people. Or Shankaracharya's commentary style is wonderful. They may say those kinds of remarks also. So different people may come for different purposes. But a candidate with these qualifications, alone he can reap the proposed benefits. It's very important. So Chaturbihi Sadhanaihi Samyak Sampannaha. Sampannaha means richly endowed. Sampatti, Sampannaha. So richly endowed with what? Different types of ornaments. It's not different types of internal ornaments, not external ornaments. Inner ornaments. What are they? A candidate is defined as one richly endowed with four qualifications ornaments. So from Shloka 13, we will know what the qualifications are. Samyak Sampannaha with four qualifications. Then Yukti Dakshinaha, since Vedanta focuses on understanding its message, here we are not teaching particular types of disciplines for getting spiritual experiences. We do not believe in spiritual experience or mystical experiences and all. We should be very careful in all this. If you are interested in that, we should be teaching more and more of how to work for that, how to meditate, how to get higher state, and all that will be more. But we are conducting more and more classes, which means we believe in knowledge, self-knowledge. We are focused on knowledge and not on any mystic experience. This we have repeatedly told. Vedanta does not want to change any of the available experiences. World will be world. People will be people. Water will be water. Vedanta doesn't aim at changing the present experience at all. Vedanta does not aim at giving new experiences or ordinary experiences or extraordinary experiences. It doesn't want to give. Vedanta doesn't function in the field of experience at all. Then what is Vedanta attempting? Very, very careful we should be. Based on our experiences, we have made some conclusion. Like experiencing sunrise. What is our conclusion? Before we study in school, sun is going around the earth. That is a conclusion based on our experience. And by going to school, we revise the conclusion that the sun doesn't go around the earth, earth goes around the sun. But even after changing the conclusion, what is our experience? The same experience only. Therefore, Vedanta does not function in the field of experience, but experience-based conclusions. The fundamental conclusion is what? The world is big and I am small. World is so big, I am very, very tiny. This is the conclusion based on our experience. But Vedanta wants to revise the conclusion, I am infinitely big and the world is too small. Padose Vishwabhutani. So this is the revision. So unbelievable, and after the revision, all the experience will be what? Our experience after all the revisions. I will be sitting in one of the chairs only Not that after Vedanta you will require bigger and bigger chair. It's going to be the same chair. No experience, no variation. Experience based conclusion, there is a big variation. And since it involves knowledge, it involves thinking. And jnana means buddhi is important. Buddhi cannot enter. So it cannot, buddhus, we call it buddhus, they cannot enter. And that is why I love bhakti yoga, Swamiji. So people always say, you know, because whatever knowledge we have, that will also go. So we don't have to think at all. Bhakti is good. That's all people say. So we have to sing some bhajans and do activity. It's not that they are useless. There we don't learn anything. We don't correct our misconceptions also. How can singing some bhajans correct our misconceptions of ourselves, self-knowledge, how it can reinforce? So singing will bring a person to Vedanta. One should make use of that and then try to develop further on that. So with this, we will conclude for today. And this shloka, we will discuss some more in the next webinar. So I will conclude it for today now. And we will see next week. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha asya prudilina se parasamaheshwaraha Sri Krishna arpanamastu Narayana.